Well, Joshua's got a live webinar coming up. We'll talk with him about that and take your phone calls as we talk about his paranormal moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we're back with Joshua Warren. Joshua, tell me about your live webinar.
Well, thank you, George. Of course, frequently we talk about these kind of mystical, spiritual subjects, and then at the end of the day or the evening, everybody goes home and says, wow, that was really interesting, and then they go back to this world the next day that doesn't make any sense, where you're just, you know, told to pay your taxes, do your job, and shut up. And I think that there are some very practical lessons that we must learn. And there are some practical systems that must be put in place, taking what we've learned about spiritualism, mysticism, and this change of mindset that's happening in 2012. So on this live webinar, I'm going to first start by explaining with the latest research now that if you watch the news every day and you say, I don't understand any of this. This is illogical. Why is this politician doing this? Why is that person doing that? You will never understand until you accept the reality of the spiritual component of humans and the state of paranormal technology that is still being kept secret. Once you understand that, it all makes perfect sense. And I think that there's going to be a change in 2012, and I'm going to lead up to some systems. Practical systems, this is my opinion, that I think should be put in place in order for us to actually govern ourselves and create this lifestyle and world that's going to be productive for everybody. And one of the key components of that is for us to stop being hypocrites and doing business with countries around the world that basically employ slave labor. If a country doesn't have the same, labor laws that the United States does, how are we supposed to compete with them? It's no wonder that things are going down the tubes because we're still using slaves. And it goes back to that predatory, vampiric tendency that I was talking about. And those are some of the very practical things that will come from this webinar. And I think those who feel compelled should watch it live, and I'll answer our questions, and we'll have a nice dialogue, and that'll be the day before Election Day of this year, fittingly enough.
Very good. Let's go to the phones now. We'll go to Ontario, Canada, east of the Rockies. Hey, Craig, go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Joshua.
Hi.
Hi. I don't know if you're familiar with this website or not, but it's called FVZA.org. It's the Federal Vampire and Zombie Organization by the government. If you click on that site and go to the history of it, it'll take you to Scotland Yard and to England and Europe about major plagues and outbreaks of vampires that this company and this organization through the government knows all about, and they're operating it. But anyways, the lead thing is a bloodline disease where the blood produces lead instead of calcium for the bone marrow structure.
Mm-hmm.
Of the vampire, so lead doesn't have much of an effect on a werewolf or a vampire, because they morph, their body can shapeshift, more or less, into a different form. So they have a different bloodline, is where I found out a lot about all this, through blood diseases. So it goes right back to the 1700s, right back to that castle you're talking about by Vildemar Dracula. And,
wow.
Baron von Frankenstein, and some evil experiments that were taking place in that place. And one, they were both doctors, right? Both alchemists, those two guys. One came from Bulgaria, and I think he lived in Transylvania.
Hmm.
And then they're both bloodlines. His bloodline went to Serbia, and the other bloodline morphed into the Windsor bloodline through the centuries.
Well, you know, that is absolutely fascinating, Craig, and that's an area that I want to look deeply into, because as I prepare for this trip, and of course, people who don't know anything about it, I've got all the details there at the website. I want to make it clear that, and you probably sensed this already yourself, George, that when I discuss vampires, at this point, I'm walking a fine line, because I remember the satanic panic of the 1980s when any kid who was running around, you know, wearing a heavy metal T-shirt and like to, you know, have now what we would call a goth kind of lifestyle was thought to be the next up-and-coming serial killer, right? And of course, I did a documentary called Inside the Church of Satan, in which I was the first outsider allowed to go and actually see what happens within the Levian Satanism groups. And they apparently, you know, seem like that they are just pretty much atheists who don't even believe there is a devil, that sort of thing. And so we hate to you know, terrify people thinking that, all you know, there are folks out there who are running amok because they're part of some bloodline and, you know, killing people. You know, just over the past couple of weeks, I mean, it's been in the news. I mean, there was this woman, 22 years old in Florida, who just spontaneously attacked a homeless man sleeping on a bench, and she started, you know, basically biting his face off. The guy escaped and called 911, and she claimed that she was a vampire.
Yeah, yeah, that was a horrible story. How about the guy in Russia who ate his friend?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that exactly. You know, these are literal examples. There was also the 16-year-old girl. Actually, I think she was 18 years old in Florida who was involved in the murder of a 16-year-old boy and claimed that she is a vampire werewolf hybrid who had been drinking her boyfriend's blood. So, you know, the reality is that there are cases in which this is becoming very literal for certain people. And that's what we have to be, you know, cognizant of. Is there actually something here that is, you know, giving a permissive sense nowadays that this is, you know, a behavior which is cool enough that it can become a little bit too graphic and out of hand? And I don't know if there's any connection or not. You know, I've been tied up at this conference in Chicago where I had a wonderful time. But I just turn on the radio here during the break, George, and I hear a story about a boy who's being forced to sleep in a coffin. What's that all about?
Oh, my gosh. Crazy stuff. Let's go to our first-time caller. Peter is in Toronto. Hi, Peter.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Great, Peter. Thank you.
I was just going to tell your guest, Joshua, that my wife's from Transylvania, and I went back for the first time in 40 years, this time there in June. And we went back to where Dracula was from and the house where he was born. And the country is absolutely gorgeous. When you go to the little village there that he's from, it's a medieval village that the people are still living at. And the history there is phenomenal. And you can go into his house. The doorways are so small. You creep around the place. It's fairly really touristy. There's a church on top of the hill. You've got to walk up a long flight of stairs that are kind of covered. And the history up there, you go up to this church, and the church is up into it's the 1200. And you go into the church, and they tell you the history of the church, and the countryside up there is just phenomenal. You're absolutely going to love the area there. The people are well people. They're very friendly and all that, and it's really good. You're going to really enjoy it.
Well, I'm so excited, Peter, and thank you for letting me know that and sort of reinforcing this. And so let me ask you this, Peter. If you were going in there like I am, from an investigator's mindset, you've got, you know, access to equipment, access to properties. Any advice for me, suggestions on where I need to go to actually try to take some measurements?
Well, when you go up to the church on top of the hill, like, we sat down in there. There were some kids in there. Like, I'm Hungarian, and the wife is also Hungarian because the area is a Hungarian area. And you sit in the church there, and then they tell you you can go down into the crypt underneath the church floor. Is because back in the days when they used to get invaded, they would the women would sit in the pews, and the men would sit around. And so when the Turks would come in to invade, they would they would put the kids down into the underneath the church and go through the crypt. So there's a place down there too where all the bodies are buried in the walls, but the people that are in the walls are all the high people that were from in the village, like your the mayor and all that stuff. But there's places I took my camera around there, and I took pictures of everywhere I possibly could, and to see if I can get any orbs or whatever. But it's everywhere is basically like kind of open. You can look in these little alleyways, and it's just it's phenomenal. Like. We didn't get a chance to go to the Bram Castile. It's a little far that I didn't have enough time. That's another place also to go to the castle that he had built. But when you go sit in his house where he was born, and we sat down, and it's touristy. It's a little bit of a restaurant now. You're able to enjoy a meal or just drink a beer, but you're able to walk around everywhere there. It's a phenomenal place.
That's you'll interesting.
Absolutely love it.
I'm not sure I'd enjoy the meal though, Josh.
We got to be careful.
What are we
that.
Eating? You know what?
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Peter.
I'm sure they have a lot of fun with that. And well, you know, when I first set this up, it was for 30 people. And the first day I announced it, 19 people signed up. And
are you going to take any more?
If we end up getting more than 30, we're going to look into the possibility of expanding it. But I was really shocked. I thought, you know, nowadays with the economy like it is, it's a wonderful deal. I mean, it's $2,600, and that covers everything for a whole week. I mean, that's round trip airfare, hotels, ground trip.
And all the blood you can drink.
Yeah, and I mean, but people are just going nuts for this thing. And again, it's an example of this vampiric mindset, which is really so reflective of our society at this point in time.
Well, I tell you what, too, let's when we take some of these calls, I'd like people to check in with us on what they're going to wear for Halloween. And I want you to analyze that, Josh, if you can, okay?
Okay.
So just give us a call. Plus, Skype is open, folks, at 9George97313. George97313. What's the activity these days for Halloween? Is it what are the trends? People are they spooky? Are they more political? What are they wearing these days, Josh?
I find that politics is a big taboo in most of the parties that I go to. Everybody wants to get away from all that crap, you know.
And it's not fun.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, all that does is divide people. People are looking for paranormal content. And you'd think that with all the stuff that's on TV right now that's paranormally oriented, that everybody would be saturated. It's not that case at all, though. People are, they want it now more than ever because the other stuff, the political stuff, that kind of current events material, it just reminds them of these frustrating divisions that they can't overcome. And they need that fantasy, that escape. That's why, you know, it is so incredibly popular, and people are desperate for more of that. And so at these parties, I find that people are getting rowdier and darker and crazier and spookier and scarier, and they're doing things that are more surreal, you know. And of course, there is a tendency for people who are going through a tough economic time to want to get together and just, you know, get drunk, you know. I mean,
yeah.
That's what happened.
That's true. Well, let's hope they're not driving.
During the Great Depression. Yeah, of course.
And a lot of little kids out there and stuff like that. I remember as a kid, we loved Halloween. Me and my buddies would go out we'd go to all the houses except one, Mrs. Chasteen, who we were convinced, Josh, she was a witch. We didn't want anything to do with her. She would be about 110 now if she's still alive. Knowing her, she probably is. This lady, when we would play baseball in the streets, in those days, that's what we all did, right? If you hit a ball that rolled onto her grass and you went to get the ball, she'd come running out with a broom chasing you.
Wow.
And we couldn't stand her. But, you know, so during Halloween, we'd hit all the houses except Mrs. Chasteen's. Did you have one of those?
I don't know that there was one particular spooky old person, but I know now that the biggest Halloween party here in Western North Carolina, in the whole region really, is thrown by a very mysterious lady. And I know it's okay to say her name because we're friends and she's been on my show many times. Her name is Yeva.
And she is an artist, and she has the largest collection of alien curiosities and memorabilia and collectibles in the world. And I don't say that lightly. She just became sort of obsessed with this type of design at an early age. And she even had Guinness Book come to her home, and they were going to document that she had the largest collection of aliens. But then they started having debates at Guinness over, well, what exactly qualifies as an alien? Do Star Trek figurines qualify as aliens, or action figures, I guess I should say, or Star Wars, you know? And so I don't know that they ever worked it out for her to actually get the certificate, but when you go into this one part of her house, from wall to wall, from ceiling to the floor, there are so many thousands of little eyes looking at you, of various sorts, aliens from all over the world. It's a bit shocking. And if you have a black light turned on, a lot of the stuff in there fluoresces. And her whole house has alien stuff just strewn through it. You know, you can walk around her property, you can go to her house 10 times, and every time you're there, you'll notice a new alien face somewhere. She paints these big...
Nothing wrong with that, Josh.
No. She paints these big, dreamy landscapes all over the place. I mean, she's a fantastic artist. And every year, she has this party, and there are 100 people invited, exactly 100, no more, no less. And if you show up without a costume, then you have to come naked in your birthday suit as a newborn.
No.
And the crowd that gathers there... is as eclectic and diverse and as fun as you can possibly imagine.
Yeah, and until people start laughing at you, Josh, for being like a newborn.
I've always brought at least a mask with me, but I won't tell you where I
placed. I can just see you in a diaper.
Yeah. There have been some local officials accused of that lately.
Let's go to Michael in New York. Go ahead, Michael. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Gosh, good to hear you. Thank you for wonderful programming.
You are welcome.
Good use of the time on the air, I must say. I want to give you what might be a story that represents what I feel is the vampire in all of us, in each of us.
Okay, and if we run out of time, I'll hold you for the break, and we'll come back for you. Go ahead.
Sure. So I do want to respond to your guest first in terms of what he said about Chinese slave labor.
All right, let's do that first, and then I'll put you on hold, and we'll come back and get your story after the break.
Which we do first.
So go to your response.
Okay.
The Chinese response.
I'd like to think that we could buy made in USA, but a lot of that is slave labor. They're using it huge amounts increasingly in the prison population.
Oh, sure. That's why their costs are so low.
I want to ask people who are concerned, maybe they can speak with their representative and their favorite senator and ask them, let's put a label on that says USA prison labor. It can't just say made in USA.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can begin to lean on that.
All right. You hold on, Michael. We're going to come back with you in a moment. We'll get your Halloween take on all of this as well. Joshua's website, joshuapwarren.com. What's the P stand for, by the way, Josh?
It is Paul.
Paul. I see. I always thought it was Phineas.
Well, I usually tell people something boisterous, you know, stands for perfection, of course.
You've got it. Stay with us. Back with more Final Calls on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to be talking about reincarnation, ET intervention with Paul Von Ward. Get ready for that. And when we come back, we'll take final phone calls with Joshua Warren on Coast to Coast AM. Joshua, wouldn't we be better off as a society if people just didn't play these vampiric games?
Well, I would imagine that, in some ways, game playing can be a cathartic, therapeutic purging for people, and it's better for them to, you know, live out some type of urges through recreation versus getting serious. But if...
Could be dangerous, though.
Yeah, sure, especially if a person is literally, you know, bound up. But, you know, I don't think there's ever anything good about tapping into somebody's vein for recreational purposes. Obviously you go to the doctor and it's bad enough that they have to stick a needle in your arm and take some blood and test for this or that, but it seems counterintuitive in a way that, you know, somebody should be, you know, taking something like that from you while you're alive and ingesting it. Again, I'm sure there are plenty of people who say, hey, that's your opinion. Well, very well, it is. But once you develop a taste for something like that, I mean, I, for example, would never take some kind of highly addictive drug like heroin or something like that, because I bet when people take that, they have no idea that they're going to become attached to it like they do, and that's how they become an addict, you know. So you're better off if you just avoid crossing these boundaries that are going to cause you problems. What if you taste some blood from a human and you say, wow, this really works for me? Yeah. If you can steer clear of it, I'd say that's a good idea.
All right, let's go back to the phones now. We'll pick it up by going to Gary in Columbia, Missouri, University of Missouri Land. Hey, Gary, go ahead.
Hello, George. I've been listening to your show for quite a while now, and
thank you,
sir. My first time to call in. I'm a minister. I'm in my 70s, and my blood is just about curdling hearing what you're talking about tonight. The reason for it is because we got so many young people and people who are loners that don't have a lot of social activities
sure.
in their lives or what have you, that are gullible to enter in some kind of a club or gang or a crowd that they can feel comfortable give themselves a little bit of a boost in self-esteem. And I think that, you know, we're supposed to be a Christian nation, and unfortunately I think that that's going down the tubes. And as a minister, I say that because if the preachers of our churches were actually who they say they are and not a bunch of heretics taking people's money and building cathedrals and temples and synagogues and mansions for them to live in, we might be able to turn this around so that we would have good, mature adults, and they wouldn't be resigning themselves to childish acts. And this is what's going on in our country. And a few years ago, if I can remind you, I think it was in North Carolina, there was a coven of witches that decided that they wanted to go to the federal government, to Congress, and see if they couldn't get a bill passed that they could worship right alongside the Baptist church or any other church in the community. And I thought, wow, where are we going? And that was about 20 years ago. Well, now to hear what you're saying tonight, boy, it just sounds like we really got into the tubes. We got too many people out here that are gullible for anything to make a name for themselves. To give you another example, there was a group of kids that were throwing boulders or heavy objects over overpasses a few years ago.
On people, yeah.
On people, and then it got carried to the media, the news media got a hold of it, and it went down to Florida, and another person got killed by the same type of... And so anyway, people are just looking for anything and everything to get to, so that they can be noticed, so that they can build their ego. But the thing is that this is the wrong way that we need to be going. We need to be teaching people what they need to become mature, successful adults. And I think we're failing that.
Well, I agree with you, Gary. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, Hollywood, as Joshua was saying, glamorizes this, you know, with movies like Twilight that set records at the box offices all the time. But you know what, Josh, he's right.
Yeah, absolutely, in the sense that we need to think about being productive and caring. I don't know that this is so much of a religious issue. As far as I'm concerned, if there is only one truth, then there are many different paths that can reach that truth. And I don't hold it against anybody that they have a different culture and they come to that truth in a different way. But I have a problem with people sort of preying upon each other. And you know, to me, there are some common sense courtesies and common sense rights. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, et cetera, that we have to, you know, respect each other in a nonviolent way. I mean, look, we've been fighting each other for all these centuries, and
still will.
Yeah, and
it's
look,
not gonna go
you know,
away.
Nobody's happy about it, and nobody should be happy about it. But we, on the other hand, I mean, we can't stop because the world is a big, big place, and there are people who are dead set on it. And a lot of it has to do with these petty, you know, religious type issues that shouldn't even really be an obstacle to us being able to find a common ground. So. I think basically if you have people who want to be disrespectful and rebellious and animalistic and immature, they're going to find a way to do that. This is a problem of a lack of education, lack of opportunity, a lack of attention. I mean, all these things combined. I certainly feel that, you know, we need to have a much more open mind when it comes to how we respect other cultures that are going to be respectful. But right now, there is such a tendency to fearmonger. People like the idea that, well, if I'm a vampire, you know, if I'm this powerful thing, I'm the beast and nobody can hurt me. And then, you know, maybe they go a little too far like these ladies did in Florida. And next thing you know, they're biting a man's face off.
Yeah. Let's go back to Michael in New York, first-time caller, with his story. Michael, go ahead.
Oh, thank you.
Sure.
I had mentioned the vampire within. It didn't occur to me until I was listening to your program today with your guest. It was about 1975 in late spring, and I was involved in the poetry performance art scene, and I went to one of these, but it was a long, low gallery, and it was dark, and a woman got up to do a dance, someone who had given me a very hard time and caused a lot of pain, and she did this weird dance. Fortunately, I'd found someone to sit next to who I took to, and the two of us decided to take a taxi across town where she lived on the west side of town.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the East Village, and I got off at Sheridan Square and near the subway, and I did a strange thing. I never did it before, and I haven't done it since. I loved the idea of formality of kissing a lady's hand. She offered me her hand. I put my mouth to it, and I put my teeth down on her middle finger.
You bit it?
And I didn't let go. I just kept it there, and she started screaming and screaming. Finally, I opened my mouth, and she pulled it, and she looked at her finger. She said, "Teeth marks! Teeth marks!" And I just pulled back a little bit, and I said, "Oh, I guess I lost a few brownie points." "You lost a lot of brownie points." "Well, I know. I have to do something to make up for it." She said, "You're not going to do anything." "Yes, I do. I have to. I have to make up for you. You're out of balance. Let me have the other hand." As I leaned forward, she pulled both her hands to her breast like she was going to protect those two. And she leaned her head back, and I said, "Oh, what a beautiful neck."
Did you scare her to death?
Beautiful neck.
Did you bite her neck?
No, I didn't get that. She, as I was approaching, she put
she
both her hands
out.
To her neck.
You lost her.
No, you'd be surprised. And I
leaned. Or you married her.
And I said, "I'm so sorry. I mean you no harm. You are so lovely."
Michael, you're freaking me out.
And I said, "I wish you well." And then I said to the taxi the name of the place we were going to. I said, "West Beth," and slammed the door. And then I walked over towards the square, Sheridan Square, and I just stood there, and I looked sideways down at the taxi. She turned around and looked out the back. She saw me just, and I was very straight, and I started moving my elbows. And she let out another scream and said, "Go, go, go!" Well, I called her a couple of days later. she had called a friend about this great adventure she had had to try to get an explanation. She said, "Michael, I think I understand you."
Oh. You were definitely not Michael the Archangel at that point. I would run too, Josh, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. The moment my finger is being bitten by another person.
That's it.
Yeah.
What if she was really cute?
Well, okay.
See? A weakness. An Achilles heel in your vampire book.
I've never enjoyed, you know, pain, though. I mean, I'm not one of those people who...
You're not a masochist.
I'm not a masochist. No, I don't like being bit on or pinched or any of that stuff.
Let's go to Jennifer in Los Angeles. Hey, Jennifer, go ahead.
Hey, hi, George. Hey, Joshua. How are you guys?
Good.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about what I was going to be for Halloween.
What is that going to be?
I'm going to be a lorgnette.
A lorgnette?
A lorgnette.
What is that? What's that?
Those who are familiar with Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, okay.
And the show Angel. It's a character called Lorne, and
a little angel is good.
But this guy, I'm going to be a green all over, singing empathy demon, and that's the guy from the show. So I'm going to be a lornette.
That'll
and I
be
thought
cute.
That would be kind of be yeah, yeah. I might come by.
Would you ever bite some guy on his knuckles?
No, I've never bitten anyone. I don't think that's, you know, cool to bite somebody. I'm from Los Angeles, and if I bit somebody, I might get sued.
You could get sued, no
but
doubt.
But I wanted to talk about the show that I'm having, George. Is that okay?
Well, what do you mean the show you're having?
Well, I'm a producer, and I am producing a show this Halloween at a little theater called Neon Venus. And the show is called Lorne Live, and we're going to be taking people back into the show. So it's going to be really, really fun, and I wanted to tell people about that.
And all right, what's the name of the theater again?
It's called Neon Venus.
Spell it.
Neon Venus.
Okay, and that's going to be on what day? Or what
day? That starts Friday, October 28th, and we're limited run through Sunday, the 30th, and the show is called Lorne Live, and it's going to be really, really fun.
Is it going to be spooky?
It's going to be spooky. It's going to be campy. We're going to be reading auras, and if anybody that is a Buffy or Angel fan, you know, they know about the show, so they know that it's spooky, it's demony, it's campy, good fun.
Cool.
Great.
Okay, good luck to that.
Thank you.
All right, Jenny. All right. She won't bite your knuckles, but she's going to be a little green angel.
Well, you know, my wife's name is Lauren, so a lorgnette works for me.
Absolutely. So does she understand the things you do, your wife?
Absolutely. We have been together for 15 years, and we've only been married for 5, so we were very careful with that decision.
Did she know about this stuff you did before that?
I met my wife on a ghost tour.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it was. I met her on Halloween, and she and her mother came on a big bus tour that I was doing that was put together by a retirement home, and they were the only people on the bus under the age of 60. And so she stood out like a gem, and we immediately hit it off. And all these years, I mean, she's incredibly tolerant. I mean, sometimes she gets to go on these trips with me, like this trip I just took to Chicago. She really loves Chicago. And we did
it's a
little birthday
town.
Celebration there for her. But, yeah, the paranormal is now normal for my wife. Yeah.
Let's go to Ripley, West Virginia. Colby's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Colby.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Good morning to you.
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm a big fan of the show, and this is definitely my first time calling in. And I've basically been listening for just this summer, actually. Kind of a weird story, like how I came to listen to the show.
Sure, what happened?
Yeah, I am cruising in my van, which has a radio. I mean, there's no way to hook an iPod up. There's no CD player. I'm flipping through AM.
Just
stations.
A solid old radio.
Yeah, yeah. Find your show and everything, and you know, I'm a big fan of the the paranormal, but kind of just through Mothman. You know, I've always been interested in that. About 25 minutes away from Point Pleasant, and you know, I grew up on the whole Mothman legends. So I wanted to call in really bad, and I kept, you know, trying to call in. I couldn't get in, and then this was August 26th or 7th, and Andrew Colvin was your guest that night.
That's right.
Yeah, so it was totally serendipitous. So, I mean, I've been listening to the show pretty much every night, you know, anytime I'm up or as long as I'm up. And, yeah, I wanted to talk about that and about the vampire thing. I mean, I don't know if I'm not, like, an authority on it, and I don't know if it's on the rise or whatever, but if there is an increase lately with the vampire thing, I mean, is it not, like...
It is. Hollywood is... I think Hollywood has contributed to that and has made it grow. Don't you?
Yeah, pop culture. I mean, you see the Twilight shirts, I mean, and, you know, I mean, like, there's... I mean, it's just on the rise. There's no doubt about it. Just, I mean, if there's more vampire activity or anything like that, it's just, I mean, you can definitely see the correlation to how much, you know.
Those things are huge. What do you think, Josh, of Twilight that really romanticizes vampirism?
You know, I watch Twilight, and maybe I'm just getting old finally, George, but I'm still in my 30s, but... But you know, I watch stuff like that, and I just think it's really, really silly.
You still like Nosferatu and things like that, right?
Yes, I
those
like
are the
that.
Classics.
I even like the Werner Herzog version of Nosferatu. That's one of my favorites. That was done in the 1970s.
Give me your best Dracula voice.
I won't suck your blood.
Not bad, like Josh. That. Hey, be in touch. Have a great Halloween. If we don't talk to you before that.
All right. Thanks, George. Appreciate it.
Okay. That's Joshua P. Warren, his paranormal moment. This one was fun. Real Vampires, Evil Spirits tonight. And by the way, his website is joshuapwarren.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.